All right, the next issue we're going to take up is, seems there's a machlokas. The chiluf or the mesis. That the opposite applies to the mesis. Yechsev lo sachmol, lo schasa olo. That itself indicates, the pasuk itself, how do you know that it doesn't apply to a mesis? Because it's lo sachmol. Okay? Now you'll ask, so what does that do with anything? So obviously, according to this position, all the aforesaid, everything we've learned until now, are benefits, are defenses, protections for the nidon. Meaning to say that all things being equal, he's still subject to those elements that are incorporated into the mishpat, which have the purpose of rachamim, of saving him. But lo sachmo. That's one view. Now the other side says, Rav Kahana masni, Rav Kahana learns, michihoro targeno. Because the pasuk says, by a mesis, he harog targeno. You should kill him. Now, they both agree on the principle, and that is the chiluf of a mesis. They both agree on that. But they're citing different aspects of the psukim. What is the machlokas? Okay? The machlokas is a little bit more difficult to approach, because in a case where they're arguing over, they have a different idea, a different formulation, so you try and analyze each one. Here, they're agreeing. They're not arguing as to the din, but the argument is as to where you learn it from. So then you have to look into the psukim that they cite, what idea is indicated by that, what's their approach. They may arrive at the same conclusion, but the approach is different. I understand what the argument is. Essentially, as we said, they both agree that in the case of a mesis, all these mechanisms are not present. Not just that they're not present, it works in the other way. Okay? Seems to me that there are two ways in which this can come about. There are two causes. Let's take the second case. Kihorog Targeno. How would you explain that? So it seems to me that it means that when you're dealing with the mesis has to be viewed in a completely different light. The normal procedures don't apply to the mesis. Why? Because it says kihoro targeno. So what does that mean? So you'll ask, but what about if he's lucky? If he goes out of court guilty, and somebody says, actually lomo dolav schos, I can argue in his favor. So generally we would say, you don't kill him because naki altaro. Here it's that, is that it says in the pasuk you should kill him. Okay, so you should kill him. But how does that explain that if he's found innocent, it doesn't protect him, he can be retried. If he's found guilty, so he can't bring him back, even if somebody says I can prove that he's innocent. Because it says kiharok targeno. Well, what does that mean, kiharok targeno? I assume, doesn't kiharok targeno, you should kill him, doesn't that mean if he's guilty, you should kill him? Why don't you just say that, don't try the guy, just kill him? And how do you deal with that issue? That's something we really should have addressed. When you're coming to the, let's isolate the one who says, that it's because it says kiharok targeno. Kiharok targeno is basically saying you should kill a person. Of course it's saying you should kill him, but it's not saying you shouldn't have a trial. So why don't we go further and say that forget about having a trial, just kill him. Where is this in Dvarim? Perek Yud Gimel. So there's a lot of psukim over there that warn us not to give in to him, not to listen to him. You have to be very careful against being drawn into an attitude of trying to tolerate him or forgive him. You shouldn't have compassion on him. All these things are strange and unusual because the question is, how is he different than any person who's committed a capital crime? You're not supposed to do these things either, it would appear. You're supposed to try them. Okay, so that's the basis of one approach, that the Torah is going out of its way to uproot certain mechanisms that have been established. The next pasuk says, Ki horog targeno. but rather you should kill him. Your hands should be the first. That is the Adim or the Musos. Fine. And these psukim require analysis. Because one can ask, what's the chiddush? Isn't this true by any murderer or anyone who committed a capital crime? What's new about this? If he's found guilty, you have to kill him. Hey, why does he have to mention that you kill him? We already know that if a person is found guilty, you have to kill him. So what are we saying over here? That he doesn't have to be found guilty? See, that's a big problem. I mean, how far are you going with Kihara or Targano? I think of the two positions, that would be the more complicated one. But the idea seems to be that here it's a different phenomenon than any other case. That's what they both agree on that. It's a different phenomenon. And the reason why we don't apply these normal categories of protections or of mercy is because you're dealing with a new shame, so to speak, a new definition. Once a person has the shame of a mesis, so then the pasuk says, you have to kill the mesis. That's the overriding objective over here, which is different than the case of an ordinary individual's chayav mesis, because then you have a generalized shame rasha. I will soon see there's a rasha lamos, that are the shame rasha is one which demands the death penalty, but that's different, that operates differently. So he's saying over here, for example, in the case of an ordinary person who's convicted, so then you'll say, well, there's the phenomenon of Naki, then he has a shame rasha, but then there's Naki Altarog and so on and so forth. But here you can't go with that. To the contrary, the shame rasha is the determinative factor. Therefore, just like we said, if a person was found guilty and then someone says, I want to argue for his defense, you have to listen because Naki Altarog, here it's going to, everything is going to work out the other way. If he's found innocent, then somebody says, Yeshli Lomochov, I can show you that he's guilty, so then that is like the shame mesis. So Kihar Targana, you have to bring him back because of the shame mesis. That is to say, it could be that he's a mesis. So the shame mesis is the determinative factor. And it could very well be, I mean, I'm speculating, but it could be that once there's edus against the individual, so then could be at that point in time, he already has a shame mesis. The only thing is that we have to deliberate to see whether that type of asasa is liable to the death penalty. You see? But the shame mesis is established by the evidence, could very well be. And therefore, kihar targenu, that there's a different imperative over here. That the shame, the halacha is that the mesis must be destroyed. And because the mesis must be destroyed, so then, however it works out. If it works out that he's found innocent, but the shame mesis is the mechayev to bring him back. To establish that he hard tag out, because maybe he is liable to the death penalty. And contrarily, of course, if he's found guilty, so then you don't bring anything back because he hard tag out. Once you have the shame mesis and he's found guilty, so then he hard tag out. The chiyuv, it means to say that the mesis must be eliminated. That's the way he's learning the trap. The other position, I think, is different. So what's the significance of all these psukim? That is to say, lo sovela, lo sishmaela, lo sochos. All of these commands, not to demonstrate any type of rachamim to the individual. So that's what he's learning, that it's not the shame mesis which is determinative. And the fact that his treatment is different. Rather, it means to say that the Torah has built in certain mechanisms into the procedure, which have to do with the phenomenon of rachmanos. So it's not a pure mishpat as we've seen, because it involves the taking of a life. So therefore, there are certain mechanisms which are rooted in the phenomenon of Rachmanis. And what the Pasuk is saying over here is that that can't apply to this case. So you have to strip away all of those mechanisms. And as we explained in the Rambam, you can go even further. You can say, no, to the contrary, you do have the mechanisms. The way the Rambam explains it, it's mashma that you do have the mechanisms, but they express themselves in the exact opposite. Because Achzarius over here is really Rachmanis. Cruelty over here is really Rachmanis. But however you want to learn it, that's whether you want to go that far, because the Rambam did quote that pasuk, that it's really Rachamim, that the existence of the Mesis is cruelty, and the destruction of the Mesis is Rachamim. But he's learning that it's not because of the Shame Mesis per se that he has to be killed, but rather it's because of the phenomenon of the mechanisms. That these mechanisms over here express themselves in the exact opposite way. Well, either you can say that they're stripped away, so there is no such mechanism of Nokia Tarog, and there's no Nistatic within. Or you could say that, as the Rambam says, that no, to the contrary, you do have these mechanisms of Rachamim, but this is the Rachamim. The Rachamim expressed itself in the exact opposite way. To the first pshat, it's not dependent. It's not dependent on the shame Mesis per se, that the Mesis has to be killed. But that's the objective. It's rather that because he's a Mesis, so then the mechanisms that are normally in place are being removed. Okay. Here it's not that. It's simply that the Mesis is a different category, and he's governed by a different principle. And the principle of the Mesis is that Haro Targeno. That as long as you have a shame mesis and a gemar din, so then it's a matter to kill him. There's really a chiv to kill the mesis. There's a chiv to kill him, but you require a matir, and the matir is that there's, like I said, a shame mesis and a gemar din. And once you have that, there's no chiv to kill. That's the way it operates, which it doesn't operate in other kinds of cases. To the contrary, over there, it's a different phenomenon. It's a different phenomenon. It's the result of a procedure, and there's an attempt. It's a combination of mishpat and rachamim, hatzalah. Here it's not. Here, the halacha is that we're mechuyev to kill him. The only thing is we can't kill him unless you have these two elements. Shame mesis, gemar din. Once you have that, kiyar targeta. The mesis prevents you from giving him the tzaddik b'din, because the chiyuv to kill the mesis is the chiyuv to kill the mesis. So therefore, you can't have this exemption. You can't be the gaver is not subject to any of these immunities or exemptions because the chiyuv is to kill the mesis. I'm sorry. To keep clear, perhaps the first position, Rav Simi is saying that basically it's the way the result comes about is that in a normal case of capital punishment in halacha. So you have the elements of mishpat, but then superadded are these elements of rachamim. So I can explain the way the mesis is being handled by simply saying that these elements are removed. They're not shach, these elements are removed. If these elements are removed, this is going to be the result. This is what's going to happen. But the second position is saying differently, that it's not because of that, it's not because you've removed the elements of rachamim, but rather there's a new phenomenon, there's a new imperative. When it comes to mesis, there's a new imperative, and that imperative is kihar targem. The bezin is really mukhliyev to kill him, except there's something holding them back, the legal mechanism, the matir, so to speak. I need the legal mechanism to give me permission to kill him. See, when a person is accused of a different case, it's not like Bezna has a chiyuv to kill him. Bezna has to try him. And it's only afterwards, when he has the shame Russia and all the other circumstances, that then Bezna is a mitzvah to kill him. the year, as soon as the person is a racist, there's a chiyuv to kill him. The idea is that there's something holding me back, that I can't exercise that until I have certain legalisms, so to speak, halachic legalisms. Once I have that, then I have a chiyuv to kill him. And if he walked out, if he was found innocent, in court, it's not going to protect him because I still have that chiyuv. So if somebody shows there was a mistake and I do have the legal mechanism, I bring him back because I have a chiyuv to kill him. I have a chiyuv to kill him, but there are certain things that are holding me back. It operates in a different way. Seemingly, it doesn't work that way. It's something that's an inherent. The obligation to kill him is not different. What's different is the mechanisms that are in place. So there's a significant difference in terms of understanding, in terms of formulation. That's why I say that Rav Simi is treating it more, it's more conventionally. It's not that we're saying there's an inherent chiyuv to kill the Mesis. We're not saying that. He has to be tried, and you have to create the shame of Russia and so forth like anything else. So in terms of his being subject to the death penalty, it comes about through the trial and through the Gemar Din, which establishes the shame Russia levels like anybody else. The only thing is that there are certain mechanisms with regard to other Averis, there are certain mechanisms built into the system which are there to defend the person and to shield him. And here there's no shield because it says, Lo Sachmol, no shields. Remove the shields, and this is the way Mishpat is going to work. That's the way it goes. The second position is saying, no, differently. That here the entire chiyuv of Beis Din operates differently. Beis Din has an inherent chiyuv to destroy the Mesis. Except, you can't just take out a gun and shoot him. You need to have certain mechanisms, certain legal mechanisms. You see that there's now a tshuva for a Mesis. Once the person has been established as a Mesis, he's engaging in Hasasa, we have a chiyuv to kill him. The only thing is, you can't kill him, as I said, until you have certain things in place. And that is Gemar Din. If there's a Gemar Din, he's been found guilty. Once you have that, you got to kill him. No excuses. No, there's no way out of that. There's no protection because it's an inherent chiyuv to kill the Mesis. That's clear then. In approaching this kind of a machlokas, where this one side focuses on these words and the other side focuses on the other words, it's clear that there's got to be more than simply saying these are the words. That he bases himself on, what about the other words? And the other position, what about these words? It means that it's a conceptual machlokas, but he's choosing these words because these words reflect the concept. Once you see the concept, you go back to the pasuk and he'll say, these are the words. What about the other words? Okay, he'll explain those other words. But those other words don't reflect the concept. You see? The other position says, no, the key words that reflect the concept of are lo sachmol, because that's the way the mechanism is. And Kiyar Targan is simply a further extension. But those are not the words that reflect the concept. Hey, Rav Zera and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Zera asked the question of Rav Sheshes. Chayve Golios Mai. What is the status of Chayve Golios? That was the question. This means those who are obliged, liable to go into Golos, which would mean, what case are we talking about? What case are we talking about, fellas? Yes, if someone kills somebody else, the shogeg. I explained already that that's a certain degree of shogeg, which is not that too close to mazid, and not too close to being an accident, somewhere in between. A significant element of negligence. So the Gemara is now asking, what is the status with regard to what? Different things that we've learned. Because this person also is subject to a trial. Actually, when this first occurs, all murderers, whether it be mazid or b'shogeg, the first thing that, if they know halacha, the first thing they're supposed to do is get themselves to an Eir Miklat. Because from the moment they commit a murder, intentional or otherwise, they are liable to the revenge of the Goel Adam, the redeemer of the blood.
Yes.
To the Beis Din. An escort is sent to protect them on the way back, because he's not in the Eir Miklat. It's a sort of a halachic twilight zone between the time of the commission of the murder and a judgment being rendered. Even if he's found putter, he's found innocent, so nobody can touch him, because he's putter. But if he's found guilty, So then he still has a halachic danger zone in getting back to the Yer Mikvah. Beis Din sends along an escort, Talmid HaChachamim, that if the, technically speaking, if the Gar Adam would want to kill him, there's nothing he can really do except try and persuade them. Persuade them not to, that this is not the real objective. The real objective is he should go to Yer Mikvah and serve out his time, which is basically until the Kohen Gadol dies. We're talking about something else, because this also demands a trial, and same question, let's say he's been found guilty and someone wants to argue in his favor, do we overturn the case, as we do for an ordinary killer? And the same is true with regard to if he's found innocent, the Tzaddik B'Din, and then somebody wants to argue that he's guilty, do we say that he's not subject to any further punishment, he's not subject to any further trial, because the Tzaddik B'Din, he's been found innocent in Din. We're basically asking if all of these rules which protect the person apply to someone who's chayav exile, Golias. Okay? So the answer is, Asya Rotzeach Rotzeach. That it's a gzera shava, so to speak. That the Torah uses the same term to describe both of them. Take a look at Rashi. Chavigo is my. Mihava kedini nefashos ilo. Is it treated like dini nefashos or not? Ksuv b'chayve misos yumos harotzeach. In the case where he's actually subject to the death penalty, it says yumos harotzeach. Ksuv b'chayve golos. And by chayve golos is lo nushama rotzeach. So the Torah uses the same idea, the same term rather. Okay, what is that? So what? What does it mean? How do you see that the basis for these principles would be the onesh, the punishment? That is, it's only these principles are accorded because the person is being subjected to the punishment of misa. So where the person is being subjected to the punishment of misa, this is what the halacha demands. If that's the case, then it would not apply to Golias. Golas, because Golas is not Misa. However, the Gemara is saying no, that the governing rule over here is not the Onesh, but the Chalo Shem, so to speak, of the defendant. That the defendant has a Shem Rotzeach. So it's rooted in that, when a person is being tried for Ritzicha. So if that's the case, this is also Rotzeach. A person who kills the shogig is also considered a rotzeach. There's a slightly different way in which you can frame it, in my opinion. Anybody else? Because Rashi and Chayve Golos, Mai, says, Mihavu kedine nefashos. Oh, is this like dine nefashos or not? Perhaps one can also explain it this way. I was thinking that in the case of Golos, there is an element of nefashos. As I've just explained to you, what's happening over here is this person is really being judged for his life, because once the person is found guilty, so then they are liable to the death penalty at the hands of the Goel Hadam, the Halacha, but they have a protection. They have a protection, and that is that they go to Eir Miklat. For as long as he stays in Eir Miklat, the Goel Hadam can't touch him. But if he leaves Eir Miklat, so then the Goel Hadam can kill him. If he leaves Eir Miklat at any time, he can't leave for any purpose whatsoever. If he leaves Eir Miklat at any time, he's liable to the Goel Hadam. So one can argue that this is a death sentence, even though it's not inherently a death sentence, as in the case of somebody who's actually Chayav Misa. But since it entails the possibility, as a result of this sentence, he now becomes liable to the death penalty enacted through the Goel Hadam. So then, that's the question. Is this treated as Din Nefashos or not? Now, the way Rashi raised the question, Chai Ve'Gol Esmai, Mihavu Kedin Nefashos, is this like Din Nefashos? This opens up the door for this type of an explanation. Are we talking about only where it's inherently a death penalty? No ands, ifs, or buts, it's inherently one? Or no, any penalty as a result of which subjects this individual, renders him vulnerable to execution, that would carry the same weight. What difference does it make? That's the question. That's essentially the question. Is it in the nature of the sentence, the sentence to death, or no? It's not in the nature of the sentence. It's rather the situation that the person is being placed in, that as a result of this judgment, he's rendered vulnerable to execution. So that's where these defenses come into the picture. There's another question. Chayvei Malkios, my. Those who are subject to lashes. Same question, do they receive the same protections that we've been talking about? Okay? Well, this seems pretty far afield, or doesn't. So, that was the question. So the Gemara says, Asya Rasha Rasha. That is to say, yes, that if someone is found liable to a Malkus, and the same procedures, if he's found innocent and somebody wants to shows you can convict him, we can't bring him back, Maki Altarag, the whole thing. And if he's found innocent, it's admission of Stadik Medin. I'm sorry. If he's found guilty, so then Maki Altarag, the same mechanism of protection. For Rashi, Rasha, Ksiv Bedin Nefashos, it says Bedin Nefashos, Asher Hu Rasha Lomos, that he is a Rasha Lomos. Except the Chayei Malkus, it says by Chayei Malkus, V'horyam binakos ha-Rasha. If he's liable to lashes, the Rasha. So it uses the same term. Okay, well, what's the idea? What seems to be of Rasha is that, and we've explained a number of times, that to be exact, the person is not being killed because he committed a certain crime. As a result of that crime, doesn't confer the shame, Russia, upon him. And once he has the same Russia, so now the obligation is to kill the Russia. So that would be the cause. That is to say that these laws of protection are not rooted necessarily, again, in the Onesh. It's not in the Onesh, liability to the Onesh, but really it's rooted in the cause of that, which is the shame. Now, once you confer that shame, he's entitled to lose protections. So he shouldn't have that shame. So now the Gemara is saying that the Chayvei Malkus is also based upon establishing a shame Russia, conferring a shame Russia. So if the essence of these laws results from the shame Russia and the Gafra, so that you can apply it to Chayvei Malkus as well. But before we go further, let's ask ourselves the question, how is it possible that one shame produces two results? Sure. Is Mechayev Misa, so everyone who has the Shem Rasha should get Misa. If the Shem Rasha is Mechayev Malkus, so everyone who gets the Shem Rasha should get Malkus. It would seem that you should have two different Shems. Shemot. Shemot. Right? Okay, there's two elements here. There's a generic Shem Rasha. However, there's different degrees of Rasha. Or there's different types of Rasha. There's a Rasha Lamus. You see? There are other factors that determine the result, the specific. There's Russia. Insofar as Russia is concerned, they both partake of Russia. I don't know what is there. But that, in and of itself, does not determine the result, because there's another element that's required. So there's a Russia Lomos, that one Russia is marked for destruction, and another Russia is marked for Malkus. But that's Russia. Insofar as Russia is concerned, they're both the same. But then there's specifics, as we... You have to acknowledge that. You have to recognize that. That in terms of the Onesh, we take into consideration other factors, which is true in any system, even sometimes for the exact same crime. When it comes to the punishment, other factors are taken into consideration. So here too, it means to say that if a person committed a crime, an avera, which carries Malkus, that's a Russian. The Gavra is a Russian. The other thing is that the separate idea, what's the appropriate punishment for this kind of a Russia? For this kind of a Russia. That's what the Russia, that's Binakos a Russia. He's a Binakos a Russia. He's a Russia who's subject to Malkus. But then you can have a Russia Lamos. So those are differences in terms of the Onesh. That's the basis of the whole issue over here. That again, the question in terms of the halachic system, the mechanisms, when do they kick in? Do they kick in where you have a particular result? It's lamos, where it's lamos, but it's not where it's bin hakos. Or now, it's totally in the shame Russia of the gafra. That the mechanism is totally in the shame Russia of the gafra. So then, as far as that's concerned, we say that you have the shame Russia too. So if you have the shame Russia, where then the idea is that wherever Bezdin is deliberating to confer upon the person the shame Russia, then all these mechanisms come into the picture. Okay, let's just suppose somebody asks this question. First we learned that it seems to be based upon Naki Vitzadik Altara. That it has to Naki Altara. Tzadik Mishnah Tzadik Midin. So therefore it seems to be based upon the fact of killing, that you know how to kill. That's the idea. Now we're saying it's based upon something else. It's based upon Russia. How do you reconcile the two ideas? Once you've established that it seems to be based upon the reluctance or the unwillingness to kill someone who might be innocent, so then it would seem that it has to remain over here. In the case of Golos, so then we were able to show that that's also an element of Dinya Fasha. So that didn't raise the question over there. That mitigated it, because that's not a problem. You see, you have the same idea of Naki Altaro, because if we say that by subjecting this person to the vulnerability of death penalty, so that's what makes them the fascist, so they're fine. But now you're saying it's applied to someone who's not going to die. Okay, that's the question. I'll leave you with that overnight.